Welcome to the OnStar Virtual Advisor, the first in-vehicle voice interactive assistant. As your virtual advisor, I can give you a world of accurate, up-to-the-minute information and entertainment anytime you're driving with one simple press of a button. I can get your weather and traffic reports based on your current location, entertainment, stock quotes, news, sports scores, lottery results, horoscopes, and more anytime. I can also read you your email, and after listening to your email, you can even reply to the sender in your own voice without taking your eyes off the road or your hands off the wheel. You're always in control, letting me know what you want to hear and when you want to hear it, just by using a few simple voice commands. And you can even make it easier to hear your favorite entertainment and information by setting up your own personal profile on the MyOnStar.com webpage. There isn't enough time to tell you about everything that's available, but let's just take a couple of minutes to listen in on a sample together. Here we go. Good morning. Let me know if there's something you'd like to hear first. Otherwise, I'll just get your profile.
Get my financial services.
Moving to financial services. Quotes are delayed at least 15 minutes. You have one company listed. Here it is. The NASDAQ Composite Index is down 34 points at 2,052. That was the only company in your portfolio.
Look up a quote for Coke.
Coca-Cola. Last sale price, $44.46. It's up 55 cents. Tell me what you'd like to do next. Otherwise, I'll just move on. If you need help, say what are my choices.
Get my weather.
Weather. Here you go. I see two locations in your weather profile. Here's the weather based on your current location. Phoenix, Arizona. Today's forecast calls for showers with a high of 55 and a low of 45. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with a high of 57 and a low of 42.
Get my traffic.
Traffic. Here you go. There are two incidents reported. Here's the first one.
7th Avenue at Indian School Road. We've got an injury accident as of 9:55 p.m. Cave Creek Road at Lone Mountain Road. We've got delays due to road construction. Expected to clear by Monday.
That was the last incident in this area.
Get my horoscopes.
Okay, I'll get your horoscopes. Tell me the sign you'd like a horoscope for.
Get me a Virgo.
Hello, Virgo. This is your astrological forecast. Today, you're compatible with Aquarius. Your lucky number is 16. Your lucky color is maroon. You could be on the verge of a romantic breakthrough with someone you've been eyeing for a long time. Now, all that hard work could be about to pay off. Just keep doing what you're doing and let nature work its magic. That's today's horoscope. Check back tomorrow.
Get my email.
Moving to email. There's one new message, and you have old messages. Here's the new one. Message from
Tony Warner.
Subject:
meeting update.
Read it.
Change in plans. The meeting has been moved to 2 p.m. Can you make it?
Reply.
Okay, I'll record your reply now.
I'll be at the meeting. See you there.
Got it. If you're happy with your message, say send it, or say play it back, or try again.
Send it.
Okay, I'm sending it right now. Your reply has been sent. You just replied to the last message in your mailbox. To scroll back through your mailbox, say get the previous one, or get the first one.
Move on.
There aren't any more new domains to visit.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Come on. Welcome to MCI. For English, press 1. Take advantage of our low recharge rate of 3.5 cents per domestic minute. Press the star key after entering your PIN to add time using your credit card. Please enter your PIN now. To make a call, dial 1, area code and phone number now. You have 32 minutes for this call.
32 minutes, Condor, did you hear that?
Yes, I heard.
Dude, people are using the card. I love it.
Good.
Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome.
I am joined by Condor. Unbelievable. When's the last time you were on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. It's been
that long, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been a while, but I'm back.
And I'm glad you're back, because we are going to be talking one of your favorite things, and that is Linux.
Correct. We're going to talk. I'm like a good guest should bring. I bring gifts, and I have a phone card for you guys. So
you have a phone card?
Yes, I do. I got it from the United States Navy.
Well, God bless the Navy. Dude, bust out right now.
All right.
You got it?
I do. No, I can't find it right now.
Okay, don't worry about it. Yeah, we'll get it up on the site.
Yeah.
Right on, dude.
All right,
now. Condor's back. We're going to be talking lots of Linux this show. We checked on the phone card. Before we jump into Linux, I want to read a couple of letters I received. Actually, everybody's been really good about the stickers. You know, I talked about the stickers last week, so 4 more, we'll get $50 sent to the EFF. Guess what? Dude, so many people donated, we like way surpassed $50. I'm thinking, you know what, I'll go ahead and do this now. Here's what I'm thinking, listeners. I'm Dual Parallel, and if we can get enough donations to get to $75, I, Dual Parallel, will donate the other 25. Of course, I'll get 25 stickers. And we will send $100 to the EFF. I think that's a good deal. So I think we got like $62 now for the EFF. Because, I mean, we just surpassed $50 so fast in one weekend. It was great. Thank you to everybody who donated. If we get, what is that? That's 13 more stickers. 13 more donations of $1. We'll get $75. I'll throw in the last 25, and we will send $100 to the EFF. And that's like an hour of a lawyer's, you know, time. So I think that's very generous for a lot of hackers who probably don't have a lot of money to donate to the EFF. And you know what? It's going to benefit everybody.
You're getting a little something wrong with it. A sticker.
That's right. You're getting that sticker so you can slap it on your ass, do whatever you want with it. So I got, you know, I said, hey, what the hell? Bust it out now. But during this past weekend where we got all those donations, I got a couple of letters here. One, this is a little gift from Turmoil. Now, I don't know if anybody's read the, I'm sure you have, you've read the summaries of the shows. They're they're very enjoyable. They're funny, they're well written, and they're written by Organized Turmoil. And Turmoil sent in some money, donated some jack to get some stickers. But guess what? He sent me a sticker. And it's freaking awesome. I don't know where he found it. I don't know how he got it. And it's like, dude, it is like old school. It's yellow, and it says sorry with an exclamation point. Sorry, temporarily out of service. And it has a payphone on it, a rotary dial payphone. And it's like brand new condition. I don't know where he got it. Dude, let me know where you got it, Turmoil. It is just the coolest thing ever. Repair service has been notified. That is just the coolest thing ever. So I'm sure in the old school days, they slapped that on rotary dial phones, and oh, I can't use that. I can't drop my dime to make a phone call. So thanks, Turmoil. And I also received another letter from a gentleman I will call M from S. Here's what he writes. Hey, great show. I've only heard a few episodes, but I'm slowly listening to the archives. So much information, so much to learn. Any chance you can take some time to direct listeners to good instructional sources, books, websites, magazines? Well, M from S, oh, and at the end he says, thank you, keep up the good work. Well, thank you. And yes, that's a great idea. And we have a great show lined up just for that. It's going to be next week. We're going to have a lot of special guests on the show talking about a lot of special topics to do just that. I think, I don't know if I've ever heard anything like that. Have you, Condor?
No, I haven't.
So I think it's, you know, it's a contestable market for a show like that, and we're going to do it for you. So definitely tune in next week. Special show, lots of special guests. It should be a blast. It should definitely be a blast.
Here's a phone card. I found it.
Oh, you found it. Bust it out, man.
It's 1-888-557-5560.
What's the PIN?
The number is 1-6-1-4-2-5-1-0-8-9. And you have to enter 1, the area code, and the phone number. It's only open to continental U.S.
So it's continental U.S. How many minutes?
30 minutes.
30 minutes. Wow. Very generous. More freaking for you listeners. And it's a Navy. Oh, I'm writing this. Navy phone card. Well, God bless the Navy. That is so nice. I bet you they never think they're helping freaks across the U.S. If they did, they never would have gave it out. Thanks, Connor. I will put that up on the site.
Well, no, thank the Navy.
Thank you, Navy. God bless you. Now, let's jump into Linux. Hold on. What time is it here? Okay. We've both had some adventures with Linux in the past week, some big-time adventures. I want to start, though, with some news. First of all, the final call for all the patches going into Linux 3 is out, if you can believe that. I don't know if anybody's using 2.5, but they're looking to go to 3, and they list all the patches. I think if you go to linuxorbit.com and follow the link there to the story, you can see the list of the patches that that are being considered for 3. And if you've used them, let people know. Go to the Linux kernel mailing list and let them know, hey, this works great, and, hey, this is a piece of crap. And input. Put your input into the kernel, because you'll be using it soon.
You can always say, hey, I put forth, put some something into it. You know, some...
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's what it's about. That's what Linux is. It's open source. It's GPL. It's for everybody. So you can help. You know, even if you just help with documentation, because, man, I can't code like that. I can't do any kernel hacking. But, you know, if you can, help out. Maybe you can just do documentation. Give your services. And just like this, I've used this patch. It works great. Let people know. You are giving yourself, you are helping the benefit. All the hackers out there, you are helping to the benefit of all. There's another big news story that came out. And, well, maybe it's not that big, but I think it is, because it's giving Lindows a run for its money, and it's called Zandros. It was Corel, and I believe it's Debian-based, Condor, if I'm correct.
I'm not sure. You're the man.
I think it is.
Windows is getting a lot of heat from the Linux community.
Why is that?
Well, because it's just not exactly free, and it's just not, and then whenever they, they only talk to non-technically inclined people.
Well,
and if it's a technical paper that they're talking to, they'll choose a person that's non-technical.
Well, to be honest, I think that's their market, though. I mean, it's
right,
it's
because they want to kind of get you hooked in it, but then again, they want to have you pay the $99 for Linux.
Right. You know what? That's exactly how much Zandros is. Zandros 1.0 is $99 for the license. And now Lindows right now is pre-installed on boxes that you could buy at Walmart, and I think other boxes manufactured in other countries. It comes pre-installed, and it's supposedly runs Windows apps and all that stuff. Well, Zandros does the same thing. I think it has something called Crossover, and you can run Windows apps really well, and supposedly it works really well. And it is $99. It is not free. And that, now, you're right, Condor, maybe the Linux community, you know, is saying, you know, turn up its nose at it, but I think this is good overall for Linux. It's going to bring in those people on the fringe. You know, hey, I want it to work right out of the box. I want something simple. I want to run my, you know, my Office suite. I want to run, oh, I don't know, Adobe Photoshop.
One word.
Nothing. I totally agree. You know what? I converted. I don't know if I talked about this in the last show, but I converted somebody. Well, maybe not converted, but I turned them on to Nopix. I burned this guy I worked with a copy of Nopix and sent it home with him, or to his hotel, I should say. And he tried it out, and everything worked, and he was impressed. Office suite worked, sound worked, internet worked, and, dude, hopefully I converted somebody. But Zandros is trying to do the same thing, but on the desktop. They're trying to send something that people will buy because, hey, I can use Office with it. hey, it's only $99, and I don't know how much XP costs, $150, $200, you know, save some money, get a distro that does everything that Windows does, and make some converts, you know. Maybe they'll get into the Red Hats and the SUSEs and the Debians, you know, the Gentoos. Is that how you say it?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, it, should it be called, does it have a right to be called Linux? It's not free.
Good point. I don't know. I read a very small section about the license agreement that comes with it, and I think it references GPL, and then it talks about its proprietary technology. It
how
might not...
use Linux stuff if it's not... It's real weird to me.
Well, I agree. It is very strange, but here's what I think happens. I think that the kernel is open source, and they're not going to, you know, they're counting on people not touching it, but the software they bundle with it, like this crossover office, whatever it's called, is not. It is a proprietary product, and that's what they're charging me for.
And you can actually, and then watch, go to their site, you can get the kernel source. And only the kernel source.
Probably. That's probably correct. That's just a guess. Listeners, let me know if I'm wrong. That's probably what they're doing. It's $99. They're using the GPL kernel that you can tweak and do what you want with. But all the other stuff they throw in, making it nice and easy and, you know, two-click installs, that's what you're paying for. Another distro, boy, lots of distros have come out, and we're going to be talking about, I might as well tell them now. We're going to be talking about Debian 3.
Right.
And I'm going to be talking about SUSE 8.1 and the adventures we have had with these distros. But before that, I want to talk about another one. Oh, no, actually, Condor, I want you to talk about this, Red Hat 8.
Okay, you know, Red Hat 8 came out, you know, everybody, it came out a while ago. Everybody was trying to get it. I got it from Rex, and I gave it to some of my friends, and you know, everybody's been having problems with it. Everybody, my dad, my friend, I've had to sit there and talk to him for, I don't know, an hour about. And it's just a real troublesome product, it seems.
No kidding. See, now I haven't heard that. I know I've seen lots of reviews. I haven't read any. I've heard about Blue Curve. Apparently it's tweaked KDE default desktop. I'm sure it looks pretty, but I've heard weird things about it. But all you've heard is trouble about Red Hat 8?
That's right. All I've seen, I've actually tried to get it to work, you know. Just things haven't worked. GCC doesn't install properly, and then some of the libraries, it freezes. So personally, I have run in with problems with it, and I also don't like KDE 3, and... because I tried it on Red Hat, and I just don't like KDE 3.0.
Right. Well, probably because it looks too much like XP for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've also heard bad things about Mandrake 9.
No, Mandrake just, to me, seems like a gamer system, you know, gaming operating system.
Yeah, they even released a gaming edition, if I'm correct.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know, I can't recall, I don't believe I've ever used Mandrake. Maybe I have.
I haven't.
I think I've used it on a laptop before. I don't remember. I've used a lot of distros. But I've heard... You know, it's weird. I've heard... And just wait till you hear these reviews of Debian 3 and SUSE 8.1. But I've heard just all of these bad things about all these new distros. And that just... It worries me. It really does. Because I've used distros in the past, you know, NoX, and they're just solid. You know? Let me... Hold on. Slackware... Wait a minute. I got this box a long time ago. Slack includes Slackware 3.6, kernel 2.0.35. So I guess it's not that old. And this just worked great right out of the box. I threw it on a 46. You know, I loved how you pick packages. You know, and why are distros having so many problems now? When stuff way back then was just working phenomenal. I don't know. It worries me. So let us segue from troubles with Red Hat to troubles with Debian 3. Actually, no, I should revamp that statement. Actually, Debian 3 worked pretty well for you, didn't it, Condor?
It
did.
What happened is I installed Debian 3 perfectly fine, My sound worked. I used the 2.4 kernel instead of default 2.2.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay. Tell me why, if you know, why it would default to 2.2.
Because 2.2 is a proving kernel. It works on a lot of systems, and there's compatibility issues, and they're trying to really switch over to 2.4, but then how do you get these people that they use Debian, because sometimes they have problems with Red Hat, which uses the newest stuff, sometimes the dangerous stuff.
Right.
And how they use, they want something that works for their old systems.
They get
Debian.
That makes sense.
Not exactly throw away them, I guess.
Right. Well, I know a lot of networking hardware you buy is, you know, comes with the hardened 2.2 kernel.
Right.
Now I want you to go through this Debian install. I want you to talk about the features. I want you to talk about what desktop it uses. I want you to talk about how easy it is to install. How did you get it? Everything.
No, I know the install pretty well because I had to go through it again. I had gone to a presentation, and there's these kids there, and I said, all right, this is my computer, this is what I do for a hobby, a very, very involved hobby. And I was showing them my computer, and I said, you know, a lot of you probably run Windows, I run Linux. And they're like, what's that, how do you spell it? I did, showed them everything, and then finally, somebody said, what's that? I brought my computer, everything, including my UPS. He said, what's that? Box right over there. Well, it's in the UPS, uninterruptible power supply. I said, it basically is a big battery that allows me to run even when the power's out. So I said, all right, would you, Steven, go over there and unplug that cord. He unplugged it, and my UPS did exactly what it was supposed to do. It beeped, but it only did like beep, beep, and then it shut down. And, you know, usually that I bought this thing, it's supposed to last me 5 to 7 minutes at least.
And it lasted 5 seconds.
Right. And then I quickly made up something. Right, boys and girls, that is what it's supposed to do. It shuts down my computer. And
you social engineered these poor kids.
Right. And you know, that's what some of the more advanced UPSs do. They, you know, they send a signal saying save all your stuff and then exit, then they shut it down gently.
Right.
But
this did not.
A cheap $5 one I got from Fry's Electronics, and I quickly made up something. So then when I turned it back on, I said, all right, see, it's turned it back on. It's perfectly fine. It doesn't have to do a check disk or anything like that, so because I'm using the Extension 3 file system. Remember that. So then I said to myself, all right, after I get done with this thing, I'll do a file system check. And I did, except I typed ex2fsck, and that's not what I should have typed. That's the extension 2.
Which is a non-journaling file system.
Right. And it said, and all of a sudden it started, you know, like, going real slow. I'm like, all right, what's going on? So I got out of KDE, I got back into the console, and it started giving me all these hard drive interrupts. It said, trying to reset HDA1, and failing to receive interrupt and everything else like that. It says, wrong file system type, EX2. Oh, no. But I'm using the Extension 3 file system. So then I turned it back on. Restarted it. Turned it back on. Kernel panic at 3:02.
You hosed your box?
Yep.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you, Condor.
I know. I understand.
I'm laughing at you, too. I had no idea. I didn't know if you chose. I thought it would just shut down. I thought FSCK would just shut down if you picked the wrong, you know, the file system type.
Right. You know what? I thought. I didn't know I was doing it.
Right.
Like, well, what harm would it do?
Yeah.
Then,
is this the first box you ever had EXT3 on?
No, I ran Red Hat for quite a while. For quite a while until I switched over to Debian. I switched over to Debian about, I switched before July 4th.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah. So I've been on it maybe since May.
So, okay, so now you've installed it twice. Talk about the install. Rax had some trouble. He was not happy with Debian 3. You've got everything to work successfully. You've installed it twice. Tell the listeners about the install of Debian 3.
Okay, you know, I don't know why I tried so hard to do Debian instead of Slack or any other versions, but I really tried hard on Debian, and I'm glad I did. First of all, why I like Debian is because it has so many packages, over 8,000.
Wow.
1,000 packages. Packages are so nice and easy, and they're even more secure. So I really like packages, and they're real cool. Especially the way you select packages by using deselect. It's a in curses type thing, and you can interactively select these packages and find out the contents of what it's like, the version, and it is awesome. Really awesome. Deselect.
I keep hearing, you know, I've heard about deselect, and I keep hearing about apt-get.
Apt-get, all right. It's very, very similar to apt-get. Very similar.
Okay. Now, and apt-get is like using RPMs, is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
In fact, some of the config files are /apt/the sources that I have to list.
Okay.
Does
it use a graphical install?
It does, but it's kind of weird graphical install. It loads it, it uses an SDAGA server, uses X, BusyBox, and it goes along, but then you see all these graphics go by, but then it goes right back to the traditional dialog box looking thing. I'm thinking, why would they do that? Not even my mouse moves.
Really?
It's just the same kind of thing, except it uses graphical. I think they're trying to do that because they want to have room to improve later.
Right. That makes sense. Now, you already told us it defaults to the 2.2 kernel. You chose 2.4. What desktop does it default to, or do you have to choose?
By default, it has nothing installed, not even an FTP server. It's just a box there. And by default, it would probably choose GNOME. It used to, at least, with 2.2.
Oh, yeah?
They have KDE on there, which I love. I love KDE a lot better. And they have tons of...
KDE 2.2.
No managers. What?
KDE 2.2, correct?
Right.
Right, okay.
I'm glad. I like 3.0.
Yeah, you said that earlier. Now that's weird, because Debian 3.0 is a modern distro, and every other modern distro has KDE 3.0. Why? Oh, Jim, boom. Pardon me, listeners. Every other distro has 3.0. Why is that? Do you know?
Well, because, you know, there's tons of 8,000 packages to manage. I mean, you have to convert these packages, and even the DEB format is very unique in the sense that you can extract it using gzip. You don't have to use... I can install a package in Red Hat using gzip. It's very unique, and it minimizes the file size drastically compared to most of the other package formats, and it's uniform. While you have SUSE or SUSE RPMs, you have Red Hat RPMs, you have Mandrake RPMs, you have lots of other RPMs, but I just really like Debian because of the packages mostly.
Dude, I'm sold. And now, you had very good luck. Everything worked. Your sound works, correct. Your internet worked very well.
My CD burner. And you know, that's my only problem with, no matter how many times I recompiled that kernel, it still had the same problem. It would not support the
SCSI emulation.
And it bugged me. Really got me mad.
Seriously?
I don't know how to fix it. I've recompiled it countless times. Countless times.
I've never seen you mad. That must have been scary.
I thought I did it right. But I didn't. And, you know, I've spent countless hours. I no longer can read C because I want to get this thing to work. Because I should be able to use my CD burner, but it's not working. So yeah. If any Debian folks out there want to help me, you can go on my website, which I'm going to be introducing. It's http://k0nd0r.tripod.com, and it's a cheap, free, well, it's actually a free website. So.
Yeah, that's very cheap.
Yeah.
So it's Condor with zeros,
right.
.tripod.com, and that's your site, and let me guess, there's lots of Linux and lots of C.
Oh, it's very, very basic. In fact, I put down at the bottom, I'm not going to be bragging about this website. It's just there for my email and my PGP signature and stuff like that.
Right on, yeah. If any listeners out there can help Condor with his Debian CD burner problems, go to his website, let him know. Let Old School Freak know. Let the whole world know, for crying out loud. Now, Red Hat, I've got a buddy who installed Red Hat 7.3, I think, and it found his internal IDE burner automatically, and he used it no problem.
You know what? I thought of that. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Red Hat's config file, and just for your information, the config file is stored in .config, so it's invisible. Anything with a dot is invisible.
That's right, hidden file.
Right. And you can make them visible by doing ls-a.
Right.
And I said, I'll take that config file and put it on mine. I got it. I know how to use it now. And I tried doing that. And it didn't work.
You thought you had it figured out. That's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
So, and everything worked. You know, I think it's like weird or something because everything was exactly the same as when I first turned on my system, when I first installed it and turned it on.
Right.
So I think it's like, I don't know, not accepting my new configs, my new reconfigured kernel. I don't know.
That's part of the infinite learning of Linux.
Right.
You know, and this actually makes a good segue. I had trouble with my burner as well using SUSE 8.1, and I'll get to that in a little bit. If I may, I spent, like you, Condor, many, many hours with SUSE 8.1. They were not happy hours. They were not pleasant hours. They were not hours that I would have spent on a Linux distribution, but I did it. I did it for you listeners. I've been using, I'm looking around back again on all my distros here.
That is exactly how I felt about Debian. I don't know why I tried so hard
to
install Debian, but I did.
Yeah, I know.
Why I stuck with it.
Mine cost me $40.
It never installed. I said, forget, I'm not trying Slackware. I tried Debian. I kept on for more than a week. What's that you were going to say? Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. I'm looking back at all my boxed distros, I should say. And started, at least boxed anyways, from SUSE Linux 7.1. I've used SUSE since on many different computers, from 46s to this 1.2 gig I have in front of me. And I've been very pleased for the most part. 7.1 and 7.2 were great. 7.2 was the best. I ran that on my 266 laptop for a long time. 7.3 came out, and it kind of, well, sucked. It was not good at all. It wasn't stable. It was buggy. There was a lot of things. Sure, it looked pretty, but it just, it was strange. It was like SUSE was trying new stuff in 7.3, you know. It was like a, I'm not sure that's what it was. It's just a testing platform for 8.0. It was crap. All right, it was crap. 8.0 came out, and it was phenomenal. And I've been using 8.0 for a long time, and ever since it came out, and it's been solid, rock solid, fast. Everything about it is just beautiful. The online update worked beautifully. You know, got the new NVIDIA drivers. Everything worked great. Yes, 2 was phenomenal. Could not be happier with 8.0.
I've got a question for you, though.
Please.
Now, is it with SUSE? Don't you have to purchase it, or can you get an evaluation version? Because I heard that you had to, like, to really get the practical version, you have to buy it. And you can get the evaluation, which includes, you know, the basic stuff, but
That is true. I've got I have a disc with 6.3 evaluation version. You can download evaluation versions right now, I believe. Otherwise, it's $40 for the personal version, which is what I use. And to support Linux and to support SUSE, who I think makes a good product, I have purchased quite a few of their distros, and I think it's well worthwhile. For $40, you know, that's cheaper than modern video games, and I'm going to get way more use out of it, for crying out loud. $40 is not that much for a good Linux distro. I like to support them. I like to support Linux, so I buy them. And I was building up, you know, building up 8.0, building is phenomenal, building up, and guess what? 8.1 came out. I bought it. I brought it home. I'm currently using a box with 98 on one side and SUSE Linux 8.0 on the other. I decided, when I put in the boot disk, to install only, how do I say this? I decided to use the upgrade. What do they say? I'm sorry. Here it is. Upgrade existing packages. That's what I decided to do. I thought, you know, it might be dangerous, but that's all I wanted to do. I just want to upgrade everything I have. You know, go up to KDE 3.0.3. Big mistake. Oh my God! There were hundreds and hundreds of dependency problems, and it handles dependencies horribly. I fixed as many as I could by hand, but more would just pop up the more I did. It was terrible. Never, ever upgrade existing packages. And also, and this is the segue, it did not see my USB burner. It worked perfectly in 8.0. It saw it. I used it as a CD drive. I could use XCD Roast. It worked beautifully.
What version are you using now?
I'm going to get to that. I am using SUSE Linux 8.1. This was the first attempt at an install. I tried upgrade existing packages. That sucked ass. Hundreds of dependency problems. It was just crap. My burner didn't work. A lot of stuff is bad. I said, well, I'll just reboot it and see what happens. I rebooted. Guess what? My boot manager was hosed. It wouldn't boot. It just beeped constantly. You know, the system bell was just going off and off and off. It wouldn't boot. I was screwed. I said, all right. Oh, man, I was pissed. I was upset. It was late at night. I said, all right, I'll just reinstall. So I did. I threw in the boot disk again. This time I said, new installation, install from scratch. By the way, the install is very simple. It's got like a hyperlink kind of interface. You click on something for your partitions. You click on your link to select your packages. I think it's fairly intuitive. Very few clicks for the install. I mean, it's pretty easy. So I rebuilt everything, and it worked. I was very happy. I decided, which this was kind of odd, I had later NVIDIA drivers on 8.0, you know, from the using the Yast online update than what is included on SUSE Linux 8.1. So I said, okay, good, it installed, I'm happy, I'll go get the latest NVIDIA drivers, because they help big time, I'm telling you. So I fired up the Yast online update, and connected to, I think, their FTP server in Germany. I was the only one that was working right then, and started to download the new NVIDIA drivers. I left it alone. It takes a while. Came back. Great. It was successful. Hit OK. It said you have to reboot. So I rebooted. Hosed again. But this time, my monitor was clicking on and off constantly. Click, click, click. I don't know if X was just having trouble. It couldn't run. I don't know what the problem was. But it was hosed. And I didn't know what to do. I can get a rescue prompt off of the boot disk. But it was crap. So I rebuilt again.
How many times?
This is the third time. Third time's a charm. It works, and I'm going to knock on some wood. It works. I mean, I honestly didn't try to fix it. I don't even know if I could have fixed it, but I was pissed. Man, was I pissed off. So I rebuilt it again. Didn't take long, you know, not that many clicks. Doesn't take long to put the default KDE install on there. And I got it to work. So I've got 8.1 working. But guess what? It does all of these funny-ass things, dude. I cannot tell you how quirky and funny it is. Let me give you an example. The right-hand side of my screen ends. The windows will end. Everything looks like it ends at the right-hand side of my screen. It does not. My mouse will go 6 inches past the right-hand side of my screen, and I will lose it. I will have to move the mouse a significant amount to get my mouse cursor back. It is the weirdest thing ever, but guess what? It gets weirder. If I take my mouse cursor to the bottom right-hand corner and take it, again, off to the black abyss that is the right-hand side of my screen, and then bring it back, it's about halfway up the screen.
You know, is this like the Linux Twilight Zone?
It is, dude, it is. You and me, dude, have been having the weirdest luck. But that is the weirdest thing ever. And overall, the mouse action is not accurate. Grabbing title bars doesn't work very well. I'll resize windows instead of grabbing the title bar. It's very, very strange. But nothing is as strange as moving the cursor off the screen, and moving it back on, and it's halfway up the screen. It's very, very odd. It looks great, as you would expect, as you damn well better expect. For all this crap I went through, it better look good, and it looks phenomenal. It uses ceramic widgets and the crystal icon set, and these will be default in KDE 3.1. It looks a lot like XP. I customize it where it doesn't look like XP, but boy, you could really have it look a lot like XP. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Beautiful XP? Beautiful XP.
Again, Condor, I will state that I have tweaked it so it does not look like XP, but I do enjoy the ceramic widgets and the crystal icons. I think they look cool. They look really cool. I've got all the... I went ahead and chose the higher end of the graphic spectrum for my desktop and got all the icons and the buttons, and I didn't quite do everything. It doesn't do drop-down shadows. I think 3.1 will do that. I didn't choose all the animation, but... I let it do a lot of things, and it looks really, really cool. I customize. Actually, mine looks more like a Mac than XP. And you can go either way with KDE. That's the nice thing about it. You can make it look just like OS X, or you can make it look like XP, whatever you want. Or like me, you can just make it look like a Linux box that's highly customized. And you know, I've read articles about lightweight Linux, no X, or maybe just a little X using screen, and that's cool and all. But man, it is so much fun to play with the desktop, to tweak it, to make it look how I want it to look. I think it's a blast, and I spend a lot of time doing that, but it's fun to me. It looks so cool, and it's very, very satisfying.
I love Blackbox, too. Blackbox and Fluxbox, they're very, very similar. Blackbox is, it's a highly configurable window manager, and it's very, very lightweight. You don't have to always go with the mainstream one, but... It'll be a lot easier for you usually to go with mainstream. But yeah. You don't always have to go with the mainstream.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up. I do not do that, actually. Like, I run 7.3, Red Hat 7.3, on my 266 laptop. And I know what you're saying, dual, you're a nutbag, because that ain't going to work. Well, you know what? It does, because I'm using ISWM on there. It's lightweight. Maybe we'll talk about that. Let me finish out SUSE, and we're going to talk about window managers and running fat distros on... light hardware. Again, 8.1, I was not happy with it. I'm still not happy with it. It runs, and I'll keep it. It looks cool. But, it boots slow, like Windows. It could look like Windows. I'm just not happy with it. It's just like 7.3.
I've got a question.
Please.
These people do not know how to count or something. They always go up to some... whatever, *.3. They don't go any past, to 7.4.
I found that as well. I don't know why. I do not know why. And again, I'm going to say this, 7.2 was phenomenal. SUSE 7.2 was great. 7.3 sucked. SUSE 8.0 was rock solid. 8.1 sucks. I don't know why. Maybe they're just testing it for 8.2 or 8.3, I don't know, or 9.0. But, if you're going to use SUSE, which I highly recommend, it runs great, especially the older stuff, 7.2 on older hardware is really, really good. Run 7.2 or run 8.0. If you can get them, stick to those.
So is this a pattern or something?
That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm. That's exactly what I'm saying this, Connor. I'm glad you said that. Is it a pattern? Are they just testing these? They say, well, 8.0 is good, but we want to see how 8.2 is going to be, so let's...
They'll charge you for it.
Yeah, well, hey, man. Maybe I'm a sucker. Maybe I'm a sucker. Maybe 8.1 is their experimentation, and then Dude, I fell for it. I don't know. It does have a lot. You know what? It has other cool things. Like, what do I use? Quanta 3, very cool. K-Bear 2, I really enjoy. It's got some good apps. But, you know, it's just got some weird stuff in it. Like the permissions. They're more, how do I say it? They're more Windows-like. Like, you can't tweak you can't mess with the wallpaper like you used to as the default, you know, in the default permissions as a user. You have to be root. It's very, very odd. It's got different permissions. The booting, when KDE is coming up, the session manager, it like hangs at 50% when it's restoring the session for a long time. So I'm sick of waiting, so I'll just, you know, I'll start Conker or something, and then it'll disappear. I don't know what that is, but stick with 8 if you can. Skip 8 once. I was much happier with 8.0. I'm going to stick with 8.1 just because I've got it working, and it looks cool. So, believe me, stick with 8. Those are our real-world shits and giggles reviews of two modern Linux distros.
No, not all Linux distros are like this.
Very
really,
true.
Things are different for you guys, you know?
Yeah, somebody might have a
total... This is not Linux. This is not... These are probably... Worst-case scenarios.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, very good point, Condor. This is just two people's experiences, two persons' experiences, so you never know what will happen. You never know what will happen. Ooh, maybe that's why people don't go to Linux, because they don't know what will happen.
Right, you know, I don't want... I almost kind of debated with myself. I'm telling my situation. Will this scare people into not choosing Linux? I sure hope not.
Yeah,
I mean,
me neither.
I've switched to Linux. I've been happy ever since.
Oh, man, me too. I mean, I've heard, I think it's called Icecast. I think there's something that that can stream Shoutcast shows, or I should say stream MP3s to a Shoutcast server. I think it's called Icecast, so I'm going to look into that. I mean, I want to get rid of Windows altogether.
It's got quite a few packages on, well, yeah. So lots of packages with Debian. And you're right, I saw, like, there's another program. It's an extension for XMMS.
Uh-huh.
And it shoots it to a Shoutcast server.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Dude, send me the link, bro.
You know, there is a program that will convert your packages. It's called Alien. And it's real... I use it a lot, because a lot of times there's these Red Hat packages that, you know, only are for Red Hat, because, I don't know, Red Hat likes to be the king of the Linux world, I guess.
Did you say the king of Linux?
Yeah, that's a try... You know, Red Hat is almost becoming the Microsoft of Linux.
Yeah, kind of. Hey, their stuff's still freely available, though.
You know, you're right.
And I tell you what, I'm a convert. I remember I was talking about Linux or Red Hat Linux in past shows and saying, I don't see why it's so great, but I've been using it lately, and I'm pretty happy with it.
No, I don't want. All right, I better not say anymore, because I don't want to get people not switched to Linux.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're so right. You brought this up, Condor, and I think we should talk about it, and that is running big fat distros on thin hardware. You got this older box, and you want to run something pretty modern, but you don't think it'll run. Well, you know what? It probably won't. It'll probably be unstable and boot hella slow, so what do you do? I'll talk about my personal experience. First of all, you can not run X, right? And you can run lots of stuff on a 486.
Well, in curses. I'm learning in curses, and you know, it is, it's great. It's not X, and it's not X. It's a console-based graphic system. Everything is console-based.
Now, you're learning how to program with in curses and C, right?
Fine. If
cool.
I can actually get my CD where it works.
It's going
to work first.
Right. You got to. Essentials. Yeah, in curses. There you go. In between, right? Not quite X. Or no X, and not quite, you know, full up X. I've used no X on lots of 486s, even some Pentiums. But right now, my low-end box with the high-end distro is my 266 laptop. I'm running Red Hat 7.3. I am not using GNOME. I did install the GTK. I've got GNOME as the root user, but as a regular user, I use, like I said, IceWM. It's very lightweight. It looks good. The Incidal 2 theme is really cool. And it works really well. I don't use a graphical login. I go into a console and I do start X ampersand. For a browser, I use Galleon. It's not as lightweight as Dillo, but Dillo can't render for crap. No offense. It's cool. It's really fast. But Galleon's lightweight and renders really well based on Mozilla. What else do I do? Oh, handpick all of your packages. This isn't so big a deal when you're running Red Hat. Debian, it might be a really big deal with 8,000 packages, but handpick your packages. Shut off any unnecessary services. Not only is that more secure, but that's going to help you boot faster. And you can run modern distros on old hardware. And you can have all the GTK apps you want. You can do whatever you need. And it'll run great. And it does. It does for me. I do all my ghetto driving with my Red Hat laptop. You have any experience with fat distros on thin hardware, Condor?
I did decide to run Debian on a 486.
Debian 3?
I was pleased with it. I ran Emacs and...
Cool.
I used GCC.
Yeah, you do a lot of C programming, do you not?
I do.
Yeah. It's too bad, man. Perl's really nice.
No? Guys.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, listeners. Connor and I have it out. I know we were coding C a lot together. We were learning a lot, but dude, I fell in love with Perl.
Every night I just sit down and then I cry.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm not lost forever. I promise, man. I promise. But I fell in love with Perl. It's so nice. It does all these things I've wanted to do so easily. I highly recommend it. I was doing a little coding last night. I posted up my sorry ass code on Stank's board, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. You know, Condor, I think I'm gonna make some phone calls. Hey, will you hang on for one phone call?
Sure.
Okay. This is, trust me, you'll enjoy this phone call.
Pretty soon I haven't eaten yet.
Oh my God, you're gonna wither away to nothing. Hold on, I promise one phone call and you will be. This is a special phone call. Hold on one second. Let me get the number here out of my cell phone. This will be definitely worthwhile. Let me flash. We'll be right back. Oh, I can't even listen to this. Here. Oh, crap. Oh, I have to turn it down. Oh, man. Are you still there?
I'm here.
All right, let me turn up. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Hold on, I got to turn off speakerphone, and I'll flash. Okay, there we are. Now, Condor's still on the line. You're still there, right? Okay, listeners, sorry about this. I cannot give you this number. There we go. Da, 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 da. God, is that a chat? Okay, got it. There we go. Connor, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. La la la.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, is this Mary Chan?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my God, you are so famous.
Am I?
Yes, for certain...
online, you know
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's right, certain attributes. Condor's online, too.
Hey, okay, what's up?
Nothing much. How have you been?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
That's good. How's school?
Well... finishing it up. I finished my senior paper. It's on open source. It's on my website.
What's that website again? Dude, I'm going to cry.
It's k0nd0r.tripod.com.
I'm going to cry too.
Huh?
I said I'm going to cry too.
This is a tearful moment for me.
I'm going on to college soon, so.
Yay, college.
I'm very happy for you. Are you going to get a computer science degree by any chance?
I'll try. I'm not sure, you know.
Oh, shit, you can get a... Dude, you could get that with your eyes closed.
So are you disappointed in me because I'm not getting a degree in computer science?
No. Dude, it's whatever you like, man. Whatever you enjoy. If you enjoy art, do art. I mean, art is necessary. Art is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm getting a degree in liberal arts.
A crazy... liberal arts major, say.
You want fries with that?
I didn't exactly know what I was going to do, so I just, you know, did something.
No. I will dissuade you away from...
No, I'm not going to, okay?
Oh, okay, good. Whew. Scaring me.
No, I really am not going to.
Okay, good. Thank the Lord. So, Mary Chan?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you're scaring me. Is this your cell phone or your landline?
This is my landline.
I caught you on your landline?
Yeah, you did.
What? Hold on. I don't have your cell phone number.
You don't have my cell phone number?
I don't.
I've given it to you like 100 times.
I don't have it.
I've given it to you. I call you on it, and you don't pick up, so...
You know why I don't pick up. Yes, well, I'll have to get that from you, definitely, because I only had the one number in my phone, so...
No, but that doesn't make sense to you, because you've called me on my cell phone.
Well, that's probably because you called, and I'm returning it instantly.
Oh.
Think about it.
Call, like, 5 days later. Hey, what's up?
I'm very busy. I'm very busy. The show takes a lot of time.
Oh, you're a very busy and devoted individual.
That's right, and we miss you immensely. I was listening to the past episodes this week, and you were just great. You were a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah, especially the episode where I sat on your lap. That was one of my faves. You know what? You know what I'd really like to hear? An episode of Condor sitting on your lap.
I think Condor swings on that side of the jungle too.
Dude, that would be so much fun. We gotta get together soon. You know what? We should all go out to where you are. Oh, we could say where you are, can't we?
Yeah, sure, as long as you don't name like city, street.
No. Yeah, we should all go to California and record a show at your place or on the beach.
You're more than welcome to.
Oh, that would rock so hard.
Have a big conference of everybody that's.
Yeah, my little studio apartment.
Yeah, we all be in, like, bathing suits, all these pasty hackers.
I'm
going to
show you something, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That you can count to 10?
No, this is where she's learning in college.
I'm counting. It's about 10 feet across from my bedroom to the closets, okay? I'm giving you an example of, I mean, it's spacious for a studio, but it's not really a place to hold a big conference.
Well, we don't mean a huge conference, just like all the old school freak crew, right? All the Radio Freak America hosts coming together on the beach, partying down, and having a wacky wild show in Mary Chan's pad. That would be awesome, dude. I will do it. I got lots of vacation, man.
Do?
Yeah. What's it like right now? Oh, forget it. I'm not talking the weather. Have you run into any technology?
Oh, yes, I have, actually. I have a very good story to tell
you. Oh, yeah. Bust it.
All right. Well, as you know, I am associated with a large retail corporation.
Yes.
And a large retail corporation, we've always had a computer access. Mainly, it's to look up information on what the store is carrying and not carrying. But a couple months ago, they got everyone who's associated with the company computer access, internet access.
Really?
And it's T1 cable, and so basically, here's like the ups and downs. Upside, it's useful for the store. You can look up like the members who are officially on there. You can look up locations of other stores in other cities, you know. And it has like a main page of, you know, frequent shopper, blah-de-blah, blah, how to make more money, blah-de-blah. Blah. And stuff. And what I'm trying to figure out, but the thing is, you can't go anywhere else. You know the URL bar that's usually around where you
can
type in the URL? Well, they've gotten rid of it. And I've been trying to fool around with it and figure out how I can hack into it. Because it's obviously made that way so, you know, employees can't go and check their email during the time because it's an actual store I work at, not like, say, an office or anything.
Right. So, okay. So you want to access different URLs.
Uh-huh.
But the URL bar is gone.
Right, and I tried fooling around with it because I know for a fact that usually there's an option, you know, available on the browser. That obviously isn't there under view.
Right.
Because, you know, if you fool around, you can, you know, choose to put the URL bar there or not. So I fooled around with it. I tried hitting a couple, you know, F1, F2, F3 keys because that seems to work. Nothing either. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions.
I do, actually. So the menu bar is there. Did you go to File? Because a lot of times you can go to File, Open, Location, or just Open, and then type in a URL. Did you try that?
No, I haven't, but I'm pretty sure they're smart enough to figure out that someone might try to do that.
Okay. They might be using, this is just a guess, I'm not, I don't know much about Windows, I don't know much about anything really. There may be a registry tweak that turns that off. So maybe if you could find the specific registry key and delete it, it'll bring back the URL bar in your browser. Just a guess. Another thing you could do, do you have any other access to the Windows box? Like start button?
Nothing in particular. I mean, it's basically, it's all very rigged. It's like if you wanted to, like, kiddie-proof, like, a computer or something.
Okay, yeah, so I guess you couldn't get to the registry if you can't get to regedit.
Right.
No, one thing you could do, you can always hit that little Windows key and see if it'll work.
But that's how you just end up rebooting the entire computer.
So really, it's like in kiosk mode, all you have is a browser and that's it?
If you have a browser, you have links, but the links are only store accessible.
Okay.
To a link that looks up every single, you know, store in the entire U.S. nation, I couldn't go and access Hotmail.
Okay, all right, I get it. So you don't even have access to any other Windows capabilities, just that browser?
Pretty much. The only browsers in the specific, parts of the store area and everything.
Okay. One thing I like to try is, using the browser, just try to get it to open up other things in Windows, like dialog boxes or anything like that. And a lot of times that'll lead to different stuff. So try to find a link that's a problem link or a link that goes somewhere or like download a file and try to get the dialog box. And just getting that will get you somewhere else. And then
fooling around with it. I mean, most of the stuff's off limits. Even if you go to like the little Windows box on the side, you're not getting anything.
Really?
We get in retail.net and the await. Yeah, I'll give that retail. I don't even know if you can actually access that without, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
The search engine, which is basically Oasis 2, which is the worst search engine in the history of search engines.
The anti-Google. Have you ever tried Control-Alt-Delete?
Control-Alt-Delete, I think, would basically just shut down the main program.
How about Control-Shift-Escape?
I'll try that.
Yeah, because if it's an NT box, you might get a task manager, and then you can run a lot of stuff from there.
I get amused. I'm a pretty cool manager. I really don't think he'd mind.
Cool. What you want, what you really, really want, is a command prompt. And if it's an NTFS box, you want cmd.exe.
Okay, and here's another question. I'm playing Wild Arms 3, and it says bomb the crystals, but every time I bomb it, it, like, goes off again.
You know, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But I got Wild Arms 3. It's a very fun RPG. It's very fun. I've been amusing myself a bit for the past couple of days.
Is that Connor? Who's that?
Your mom.
This is my sister.
Oh, she wants the phone?
Yes.
All right, dude. You want to go?
Well, yeah, you know, I want to say something real quick.
Please.
I'll pledge support for Old School Freak, and I'll help out as much as I can.
Oh, yeah. That means a lot to me, dude.
Not touching.
It is. No, I'm serious. It really does.
Okay.
Because with Rax gone, I need it, baby.
Good college, Condor.
All right, that's
later.
I'm obviously causing a ruckus, so...
Later, man.
I'll see you later. Bye.
Oh, it's just me and you now.
I miss him already.
Oh, me too.
So you're playing... No, sorry, the gaming show is... Oh, wait a minute, there is no gaming show! There's a huge, huge need for a gaming show. I don't know why there isn't one.
There is. We'll make one day. I'll make one once I get some internet access now. I'm getting mixed things around this area, which is, I mean, you've always told me cable's a lot better, but around here it looks like DSL's a lot more promising.
Maybe so. I mean, cables share bandwidth, so you might be screwed if you got cable and DSL. You know, if you're within range of the CO, man, get it. I've heard DSL's great. I know people who are very happy with it. Yeah, get bandwidth. That'd be really, really nice. Mary Chan, it's been so nice having you on the show. Hey, wait a minute. You want to stick around for a second? I want to make some phone calls.
What? Of course.
All right, cool. I want to call Democracy Now!
What's Democracy Now?
Democracy Now! is a radio show on...
Democracy?
Yeah, it's about democracy, but it's on Pacifica, the same company that has Off the Hook. I watch, occasionally, public access TV.
I know you do.
And her show, oh, I forgot her name, she has her radio show on that public access TV channel, and it's a great show. I love watching it. She had Michael Moore on the other night.
Oh, sweet. I love that guy.
Yeah, so he's got like that new movie, Bowling for Columbine, and I watched an interview with him, and they talked about it. They showed clips.
You're never going to show that thing where you live. You know that?
I know. That sucks. I'm going to check into it, though. But they have an 800 number, and I'm going to call it just to see what it is. Not to harass them. I just want to see what happens, okay? So hold on. Let me flash here. Just curious.
Uh-huh.
They gave out a number, so I'm calling it.
Thank you for calling Democracy Now! All of our agents are currently helping other customers. Please stay on the line and the next available agent will be with you shortly.
Well, that's kind of weird. Customers?
Probably after hours.
Obviously, but why? What are they selling? I don't know. I'm leaving them.
Well, that was fun and exciting. It's almost like we are 18 hotline.
I don't know. I'm just trying it out. I was just curious. Now I want to try the phone card that Condor gave us. The listeners, I should say. And it's a Navy phone card. He got it from the Navy, of all people. Hold on a second, Mary Chan. Go Navy. What's the deal?
What? Hello, and thank you for using your Navy phone card. Please enter your card number now.
Okay.
If someone wrote a book about your life, would anyone want to read it?
No.
What stories would it tell? What story will you tell your children? The stories of tomorrow are being written today in the U.S. Navy. Navy, accelerate your life.
That was funny as shit.
Please enter 1 plus the area code plus the phone number you wish to dial.
Let's call a HackerMind conline.
Please hold while we connect your call.
Thank you. Accelerate my call.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Yeah, we had some wild shows, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
If people only saw what went on behind the microphone.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, lovely. Why not?
Hang up and try your call again.
Screw you. They're calling a hacker con line. The Navy cannot be associated with hackers at all.
Hackers are unpatriotic.
I totally disagree.
Hold on a second. Let me put my t-shirt off.
Oh, you're talking dirty. This is a family show.
I'm getting ready for bed.
I have been trying to... By the way, listeners, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been swearing a lot lately. And you know what? That's just... It's not... You know, I don't mind it. I don't care. It's funny sometimes, but I'm just trying not to, you know, because some people may take it wrong. Some people might not like it. Some people might not think it's classy. And you know I'm a classy guy. It's obvious from the picture of my laptop how classy I am. Water. Boy, I needed water, man. Right when you were coming on, my throat was dying on me.
Really?
Yeah. So will you be on the show again?
Oh, of course, of course.
Really? Dude, you're the best, Mary Chan.
Aw, thank you.
I miss you very much.
That's flattering.
And I'm sure the listeners miss you, too. Listeners, send Mary Chan some mail, marychan@oldschoolfreak.com. Let her know that you miss her.
My boobies.
I wasn't going to bring up your boobies, by the way.
I mentioned that on the other show. You said that.
I did not. I just said there. What? I didn't even say... Oh, I never mentioned boobies. Oh. All right, I'm going to mention it now. You can see Mary Chan's breast at oldschoolfreak.com.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, everybody knows already anyways. They go to the Stank Dog message board. Holy moly. Horrible. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. If this country wasn't so uptight, I mean, it's so ass backwards. I mean, breasts are beautiful things.
Can't even see anything specific.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I bet people would freak out if it was on TV or in a magazine. Yeah, dude. Anyways. That's a whole other rant about the backwards Puritans that this country is based on.
You're right. I think beauty is a very beautiful and pretty thing, and as long as, you know, it isn't like, you know, hey, look at her, she takes three at once or something perverted like that.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, the human body is a beautiful thing. All right, let's not get into that tangent. We talk tech a lot, and we need to keep it that way. Mary Chan, thank you for being on the show.
But, hey, it's not a problem. You need help now that, you know, Rex wants to be great.
I do. I need lots of help. I needed help when Rex was on the show. So
I had me.
That's right. And, again, I miss you, and I'll definitely be calling you for future shows.
I'm glad.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, listeners, that wraps up another episode of Radio Freak America. Next week, special episode. We're going to have lots of people on. We're going to be talking lots and lots of stuff. Pretty much a groundbreaking episode, if I do say so my damn self. So, go out, play with Linux, have fun, and check out Mary Chan's boob on oldschoolfreak.com.